When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
I've got a friend who summons the phrase, I always expect the worst, therefore I'm always pleasantly surprised when the worst doesn't happen. And maybe you have some friends like that too. And that's sort of the idea behind the character of Taft in The Inscrutable Dr. Baer and the Case of the Two-Faced Statue, drbaer.com, drbaer.com. Taft, the tortoise. It's time to talk about one of the heroes again. And like the other explorations, I'm going to start with talking about the personality, some of the inspiration for that, and then finally, like, the design of the character. So Taft, from the start, in the first mini-comic I drew about him, I wanted him to be the realist who grounds the silliness happening around him. My friend and comic book writer Dan Mishkin once said to me that he described my style as action whimsy, and I love that description. And so in order to sort of, what would you say? Like, add some seasoning to the silliness, I want characters who aren't as silly. Although one might argue that the idea of a giant battle tortoise who can run really fast is inherently silly, but his personality's not, right? Other people who have read the book have described him as cynical. I don't know if I would use that word, but I'll take it for now and run with it. And I would describe his cynicism as a cope. There are scenes in the book where we find out that he is a fairly fearful character. He is not excited about going on adventures and fighting supernatural or occult monsters. And he sort of masks that nervousness and that anxiety in a sort of cynical or, well, again, realist vibe. So it's one of those things where, you know, we're always telling on ourselves, right? This is something I explore with character design with my students. I'm like, how can your character tell on themselves? And Taft's tell, the thing that if you were playing poker against him, is that if he's being particularly grumpy, it's probably because he's particularly frightened. Although there are also scenes in the book where he's just calling nonsense on what people are saying to him. So there is an element of his own personal dishonesty. And this is one of those things where we always like project our shadow onto other people. He doesn't like dishonesty in other people. So there are times when Dr. Baer will say something, which is clearly an evasion of the conversation. Dr. Baer's trying to divert the ideas to somewhere else. And Taft will say, well, come on, I'm not buying that. So the inspiration for this kind of character, like the other characters who have shown up in media that I enjoy who fit this bill, I would say like this is Ben Grimm of the Fantastic Four, the ever-loving blue-eyed thing. The big, heavy, who maybe isn't as eloquent as the leader of the group, but is certainly as charming and has a kind of like grounded, earthy wisdom about him. Another character that I love that I think fits this and certainly was an influence on the how I approach Taft is the character of Rhinox in Beast Wars, the Transformers show from 1996 to 1998, I think. He's a rhinoceros. He is a technical genius. He creates a lot of inventions in the show, but he doesn't fit the standard stereotypical brainy smurf kind of character, or even staying within the Transformers universe, he's not Perceptor. He's not the nerdy brainy guy. He's brainy, but the way he shows up in the world is more like a heavy. And there's a wonderful scene that where things are very, very tense and the bad guys are inside the hero's base and they're about to steal something that's very valuable to the heroes. And it seems like Rhinox has been taken out. Like they effectively dispatched him in order to be able to get the thing. And all of a sudden they hear his gun being cocked behind them. And it just cuts to a scene of him holding his like weird chain gun at them. And he just says, you don't want to try it. You don't want to try it. Like, you don't want to try it. No. He says, you don't want to try it. Again, the language of the heavy. And it's a really terrific scene where it's just like, you feel like the, woo, Rhinox, I'm glad you're on the team. So let's get to the design of the character. He's a tortoise. Why a tortoise? So I think most of the decisions I've made in the book began with this idea of trying to entertain my wife. That's like, I want to say for the past like 50 to 20 years, almost every creative choice I've made began with, what would she find charming? Like, she's my first audience. I guess I'm my real first audience, but what I'm trying to do is find something that delights me that I know that she'll also think is charming. And while Pickles, as I described earlier, was inspired by a plushie that my wife and I got at a store years ago, Taft was not. Taft, there's no plushie counterpart. It's just that I know she likes tortoises. I know she likes turtles. She likes reptiles. When we go to the zoo, we go to the reptile house. We like looking at reptiles together. And so I knew that when I was doing that Inktober sketch where Pickles and Taft were sort of created, just as an intuition, like, oh, what if you had like a cute warrior pig riding on some kind of beast of burden? What would it be? Well, how's this for irony? It's a tortoise. Tortoises can't move fast. Well, this one does. And that, there's no questioning that that was inspired by the racing snail from the NeverEnding Story book and movie, right? The quote unquote irony of a slow creature that can move fast. But it was also, I think, the idea of a giant, there's something like a dinosaur about it, right? He's a giant reptile, big, heavy reptile who is barreling at you. It's going to feel intimidating. It's going to feel intense. It was also partially inspired by Battle Cat, a giant tiger that you can ride around on, right? Yeah, guess what? I love He-Man a lot. Anybody who's known me a while knows this. So it was just like, what's a giant animal I could have a character ride? Now, these are all talking animal characters, clothed animal characters, as C.S. Lewis says. Although Taft, I would argue, is he clothed? Not really. But so how can you have beasts of burden and have more anthropomorphized characters? Now, as I've said, I don't have a sort of like rule book or Bible written out about how my anthropomorphizing of animals works, like what kinds of different species are. But at least through my intuition of creating a friend that you can catch a ride on, it gives the implication that there are different classes of species where some animals are more animal-like than other animals. Wilhelmina and Taft both walk on all fours. Pickles walks on her back legs. Boulder the bear walks on his back legs. Dr. Bear is a teddy bear. He doesn't even look like a real world animal, right? So, and then many of the animals you see in the book, they're most of them walk around on their hind legs, but we at least have two that move around like a traditional earthbound animal moves. So I don't have any special insights to offer on that, except that something in my unconscious is making these classifications for me, or I'm just being willy-nilly, and hey, Dan Mishkin described my work as action whimsy, so that's okay. So is there anything else to say about Taft? Taft, for me, like if I wanted to get into the personal realm, he's the... My younger brother actually was really my champion when I was a kid. And as I described myself as a particularly sensitive and not very aggressive boy, my younger brother's 2 years younger than me, so we were very close in age. And as a matter of fact, many people when we were children thought we were twins. We looked so much alike. He had less of a problem being aggressive, and he would often come to my protection when I was being hassled by other kids. Which one might say, oh, how embarrassing. And some people did. But as a kid, I was just really glad to have like kind of like a tough, scrappy kid in my corner who believed in me and wanted to make sure that I was okay. And this is like all the way to our adulthood. I remember I was at a bar with him ages ago, and there was some rough company in there, and they started getting rougher. And my brother like took me by the arm. He's like, we're leaving. I don't want you here when things get ugly, you know? I think Taft might be partially inspired by him as well. This guy who can call nonsense when he sees nonsense, and Taft has an like of all of the heroes, he is the most aggressive. There are several scenes in the book where you see him leaping forward to engage in physical combat and really like has a real problem with people who bully too. Yeah, that had to have come from my little brother now that I'm thinking about it. So yeah, that's Taft, Pickle's best friend. You have the cheerful little pig who's super emotionally intelligent and a little bit sometimes too much of a people pleaser. And then you've got Taft who has really very little interest in people pleasing, but is often using his tough outer shell, pardon the expression, to mask a kind of an ongoing anxiety about the line of work that he and Pickles have gone on. So I think that's how those two characters balance each other out. So let's see, how do we get to like the three, like the triad of the three heroes? You got Dr. Bear, you got Pickles, you got Taft. Dr. Bear is, you know, unexamined assumption and intellect. Pickles is boundless joy and emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence high, tactical intelligence low. Taft is the one who's grounded and realistic and sees what's happening in front of him and isn't caught up in sort of the intellectual or emotional pursuits that Dr. Bear and Pickles are. But his groundedness is in front of a fear about what's happening. I think that's how that works for now. I may have more to say on that later. And, you know, as I go do school visits and different book tour things, I'm sure this messaging will evolve. I'm looking forward to hearing how it changes. And that's also a nice little segue to talk about. I'm offering free school visits this fall of 2024. I initially offered 13. Already a number of them have been claimed. So if you live within, or if your school or library is within 60 miles of Columbus, Ohio, I will come out in person for free. If you are outside of that radius, I would be glad to do a virtual workshop for you for free. The information is on the website at drbear.com. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for listening and believing in me. If you haven't pre-ordered the book yet, I would encourage you to please consider doing so. It would really help the book out if we came out with a really strong showing of initial orders. And then once you have the book, yeah, I'm going to be making a lot of noise about please review it. I know, I'm going to keep on asking. But I really believe in this thing and I want it to be successful. And I'm hoping that I'm putting ideas and thoughts and wonderings out in the world that make it worth your time to do these things. So thanks again. I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
I'd like to talk to you for just a moment about safety. When we go to the beach, there are lifeguards there to watch out for our safety. Crossing guards are in the street for the same reason, to help protect us. Now, things like that are fine, but we can't count on someone always being around to protect us. We should practice thinking of safety all the time. So, don't take a chance. And that's true whether you're crossing a street or driving a car. Think safety.